There are so many things as humans that we don't really understand. There are mystic, magical, fated things, as well as otherworldly realms that we just can't comprehend unless it's through the journey of our own soul. I'm your host, Steffi, aka The Spirit Sis. I'm a psychic medium, astrologer, and intuition teacher, and I'm here to take you on an exploration of all things spiritual. I'm going to connect to source, give you divine downloads, and I want to keep you in the spirit loop. So here is the psychic scoop. Hi, besties. Welcome back to another episode of Psychic Scoop. I am your host, Steffi, aka Spirit Sis. I am an evidential psychic medium, professional astrologer, and intuition teacher here to walk you through, usher you through, hold your hand, frolic into the sunset of all things spiritual. So if you are a first-time listener, welcome. It's such a pleasure to have you. If you're a long-time listener, love you, love you, love you, and you already know it. And something that's unique about this podcast that I always like to disclaim is it is all spirit-led. So I wait for spirit, the universe, my guides to channel through an episode topic. And then I come to the microphone when I'm feeling like it's in divine alignment to speak on that topic. And that's how I've done this since day one. The podcast is over 3 years old, which is wild. Every single episode, over 100 episodes, that's the way it's kind of spliced. I like to tap into the collective and see like what energetically everyone's feeling. So if you are listening to this now, or I mean, you are obviously if you're listening to this later, no, you're listening to this now. Or let's say this was published a while ago and you're just listening to it now. That's a better way of saying it. You're meant to listen to it now for some reason. And I truly believe that. So if you want to pop through all the episodes that I have already done and something calls to you, that's definitely a pull or a tug from spirit. And that's the intention I have whenever I come to record a podcast episode. So without further, today spirit kind of dropped in that I should talk about near-death experiences. I've never talked about NDEs on the podcast. I know I've had guests come on that have experienced that before, but I wanted to explore it from all the different lenses and angles. So the thought of death or even being close to death is something that humanity has been fascinated about for centuries because, yes, we can have, you know, spiritual experiences, or we can connect with the divine, or even me, like channeling people who are on the other side, you can get glimpses of that realm, and that could be beyond our everyday human perceptions. But there's also this challenge of truly understanding consciousness and mortality because we haven't been there, well, in this incarnation at least, before. So near-death experiences can happen when, you know, you clinically are dead, like your heart stops, or it can be this threshold between life and death, like potentially someone's in a coma or someone was in an accident or someone has some sort of traumatic injury where maybe they feel themselves drifting away from the physical body. There's so many reports. I'm going to get into personal reports, but you know, there's always this mention of being drawn towards light, feeling incredibly warm, calm, or maybe like encountering visions of loved ones. And these experiences are so diverse for each individual as they go through them. And one thing I will say, after reading a bunch of near-death experiences, listening to them, I've always been fascinated with this. And also from hearing from spirit from the other side, and they've explained to me what happens when they actually do pass, there's this profound sense of transcendence that kind of defies any type of rational explanation or thought. And throughout history, there's been countless souls who have returned from the brink of death to recount and explain their extraordinary journeys. There's even been books written about it, and many, many, many of people who went to heaven and came back, or saw the other side, or had this crazy near-death experience. And these accounts will always, I don't know, they always sit really warm on my heart because it really makes me just believe even more than I already do, in spirit and karmic destiny. So I don't even know where to start when I was deciding to do near-death experiences. I kind of wanted to break it down, and then I wanted to talk about personal experiences, but I also want to talk about scientific research that's been done, because I'm coming here with the scoop, right? I got to get all of the juicy details. I felt like a little researcher doing this, which was really interesting, different than any of the other research I've done for the podcast. And I am also recording this during a Mercury retrograde, so I definitely didn't want to spread misinformation or do anything that could be damning in the future. So I'm reading this report from Magis Center blog, which talks about credible stories of near-death experiences. So the common elements in stories of near-death experiences, I kind of talked a little bit about it, but let's kind of narrow it in. To qualify, I'm doing air quotes, qualify for near-death experiences, one must have limited brain function. But in the United States alone, it's reported over 9 million people have experienced an NDE. So patients report revealing patterns of several recurring elements. This includes an out-of-body experience, an accurate visual perception while they're out of the body, accurate auditory perception while out of the body, feelings of peace and painlessness. There's a light phenomena, so encounter with a loving white light, or people will talk about being in a light tunnel. There is a life review, being in another world or another dimension. Sometimes there's discussion of encountering other beings. And I kind of already talked about that tunnel experience, but sometimes people experience the tunnel differently. Like there's a white light at the end of the tunnel, or sometimes it's just black and then there's a little bit of light different. And then there's also precognition. So there are different ways to verify a report of a near-death experience, because the clinical death is when, you know, your heart stops, or sometimes there is an absence of brain function. So sometimes people have reported to maintain consciousness during that clinical death, which is wild to me. And since clinical death often happens in hospital settings, there is professional medical oversight when this is happening. So thousands of these near-death experiences have been sufficiently well documented through scientific studies. And there's reported data and visual perception of this with near-death experiences. And a lot of these reports have highly unusual or unique characteristics that are not a part of the ordinary resuscitation or hospital procedures. In a 2001 study by renowned cardiologist Pim von Lommel, a man who had been in a deep coma told a nurse that he recognized her. And then he told her he saw exactly where she had placed his dentures during resuscitation. And then he described the cart where she placed them. They were there precisely and exactly the way he described it, which I love. I love. And people talk about the life review. And I've talked about this on the podcast before too. And this is something that Spirit has always told me, that you meet with your guides and you go over your life review. Though sometimes these can't be deemed scientific, it's worth noting that NDEers sometimes will re-examine their life or morals, or sometimes when they come back from that experience, their entire life journey has changed. There's been reports of people who have maybe been on the brink of death due to addiction or substances, of alcohol of some sort, and then after they come back from that experience and losing their life, you know, there's been a force that tells them they have to change or else they'll die. And then they have these brief life reviews and maybe even brief pictures or flashes of their life. And they can see themselves being filled with love and light and having a choice. And those moral choices will change how they look at their life and suddenly understand that them as an individual has a really important role in the universe, and it gives them purpose, honestly. Let's do a few more near-death experience stories because I could just eat this up with a spoon and come back for seconds, thirds, never get sick of it. And I'm reading this from the Reader's Digest. So this one is called Just Love, Unconditional Love. After a four-year battle with lymphatic cancer, Anita Morjani slipped into a coma in 2006. Doctors were sure it was the end, not realizing that in her near-death state, she still had consciousness. Initially, she fell from what she felt was floating from her body, a 360-degree peripheral vision of the hospital room and beyond. She couldn't see her late father himself, but she did feel his presence, and he had a message for her. He said that, "I've gone as far as I can, and if I go any further, I won't be able to turn back. But I felt like I didn't want to turn back because it was so beautiful. And it was incredible because for the first time, all the pain in my body had gone away. All the discomfort was gone. All the fear was gone. And I just felt so incredible. And I felt as though I was enveloped in this feeling of just love, unconditional love." About 30 hours after falling into a coma, Morjani flickered back into consciousness. 2 days later, her organs started to regain function and the tumor started shrinking. Now she's cancer-free and is a public speaker and author of the book, What If This Is Heaven? Annabelle Beam had just been diagnosed with two chronic life-threatening digestive disorders at age 4. By age 8, she was ready to give up until something unexplainable happened. She was sitting on a tree branch 10 meters in the air when all of a sudden it cracked. She fell all the way down into the hollow base of the tree where she was trapped for over 6 hours. She said that she died and went to heaven. It was really bright and I sat on Jesus's lap and he told me, "Whenever the firefighters get there, there'll be nothing wrong with you." And I asked him if I could stay and he said, "No, I have plans for you to fulfill on earth that you cannot fulfill here in heaven." When she woke up, her illness had healed and her mom wrote a book, which later turned into a film. Another 4-year-old girl was in the hospital with a high-grade fever that had caused hallucinations, vomiting, and fever when she felt her toes reach the foot of the bed. She opened her eyes to see herself lying on a gurney before her non-body started to rise up out of the building. "I began browsing through time," she wrote. "I later detailed things that occurred before I could even talk. As I kept ascending, I felt at peace. There were no questions or unknowns. Time wrapped in on itself. There was no past, no present, and no future as we see here. Everything happened now and all at the same time. I felt no fears or worries. I began drifting towards a beautiful light, and I wanted to touch it. Suddenly, there was a pop. It felt like I was attached to a cord when someone grabbed it and jerked me down." Whoa, that's a crazy one because I've had spirit tell me a lot that when you go to sleep, you have this golden string attached to you so you can go and explore alternate realms when you're sleeping and that you never want to get too far away from your cord because when the cord does detach, it means like you actually die in your sleep. That's just something I've heard from a few of spirit on the other side, but wild that she described that cord in her NDE. When actress Jane Seymour was shooting a 1988 film, Onassis, she went into anaphylactic shock and her bronchitis antibiotics were injected into a vein instead of a muscle. "I had a vision of seeing a white light and looking down and seeing myself in the bedroom while the nurse frantically tried to save my life, jabbing injections in me, and I'm just calmly watching this whole thing." She later added that that experience had changed her. "I remembered looking down at my body that was mine, realizing I wasn't even in it, and I totally grasped the concept that
your body is really just a vehicle. You need to service it just like a car. About 20 years ago, orthopedic surgeon Mary C. Neal almost drowned while kayaking in Chile, and her heart stopped for more than half of an hour. Soon after leaving my body, I was greeted by a group of beings who were simultaneously familiar and unfamiliar at the same time. This may sound strange, but I felt like nothing but peace and happiness in their company. When I was separated from my physical body, I was simultaneously aware of what was happening in heaven and what was unfolding at the riverbank where I had just drowned. I thought about my husband and my children, my parents and my siblings, and not at all about my work or other earthly worries. Wow. That is such a common theme through all of these stories. Nothing but peace, happiness, and then also not feeling attached to our human condition and our human fears and worries. In 2008, neurosurgeon Eben Alexander went into a coma from a rare form of meningitis that only infects 1 in 10 million people. His doctors figured he only had a 10% chance of living. I was rescued by a slowly spinning, clear white light associated with a musical melody that served as a portal up into the rich and ultra-real realms. The Gateway Valley was filled with many earth-like, but also spiritual features, vibrant and dynamic plant life with flowers and buds blossoming richly with no signs of death or decay. Waterfalls were sparkling with crystal pools. Thousands of beings danced below with great joy and festivity, all fueled by swooping golden orbs in the sky above angelic choirs, emanating chants and anthems that thundered through my awareness, and a lovely girl on a butterfly wing. After being unconscious for a week, he woke up and hadn't suffered any brain damage. I got full body chills reading that one. Wow, that sounded very peaceful and amazing. Okay, I'll read one last one. Dave Bennett was a chief engineer of an underwater research vessel in 1983, when one night he was thrown into the ocean. He'd been educated on signs of oxygen deprivation, but as he drowned, he suddenly experienced something unlike anything he'd ever read about. He felt like there was some ominous presence keeping him from being alone as darkness slowly faded into light, and then he started to move toward it. As I got closer, there were waves and waves of love that were wrapping me in this warm embrace, he said. It was the most amazing feeling I ever had, and it felt as if love was actually permeating my actual being, and it transformed me into this being of life. As I got closer to the light appeared to me like it was millions upon millions of fragments of light. And out of that, he saw what he interpreted as his family, not the ones he has here on earth, but a second, quote, soul family. Wow. He was told to go back to his life to refill his purpose. And after 18 minutes of being underwater, he popped back up to the surface. 18 minutes. Oh my gosh. Most people can drown within a few minutes. That's wild. Now, I kind of want to move into the scientific research of this because I found this something that we need to shine a spotlight on. Because a lot of us have these feelings or thoughts and beliefs or even these soul urges towards crossing over or potentially having death experiences, but can it be explained in a logical field? And the person I found has done the most research is Dr. Sam Parnia, and he has kind of been pioneering work in this field of resuscitation science. And he has pushed the boundaries for understanding consciousness in the afterlife. And he has a lot of groundbreaking research, which I found was really interesting in the notable studies. And it's called The Aware, which is the awareness during the resuscitation. And it's kind of studied to investigate the validity of these experiences. And I found this article. Let's see. Like, some of these articles are so random, but this is from southampton.ac.uk news. So the recollections in relation to death or so-called out-of-body experiences or near-death experiences are often spoken about this phenomena of frequently being considered hallucinatory or illusionary in nature. However, objective studies are kind of limited in these experiences. So in 2008, a large-scale study including over 2,000 patients from 15 different hospitals scaling over the United Kingdom, United States, and Austria was launched. And this is what I said, the AWARE, right, that foundation study, examined a broad range of mental experiences in relation to death. And then researchers tested the validity of these conscious experiences using objective markers for the first time in this large study to determine whether the claims of awareness were compatible with people who said they had out-of-body experiences and if that corresponded with real or hallucinatory events. And results of these studies have been published in the Resuscitation Journal, and the study concludes that the themes relating to the experience of death appear broader than what has been understood so far. So that has been described as, quote, near-death experiences. And then in some cases of cardiac arrest, there are memories of visual awareness compatible with out-of-body experiences that actually do correspond with actual events. And a higher proportion of people have had vivid death experiences, but do not recall them due to the effects of brain injury or sedative drugs in their memory circuits at that time. Dr. Parnia said about the study is it's significant because it has often been assumed that experiences in relation to death are likely hallucinations or just delusions of the brain, occurring before the heart stops or after the heart has been significantly restarted, but not the experience corresponding with real events when the heart is not beating. In this case, consciousness and awareness appeared to occur during a 3-minute period when there is no heartbeat. And since the brain typically ceases functioning between 20 and 30 seconds of the heart stopping and doesn't resume again until the heart has been restarted, its detailed recollections of visual awareness were consistent with verified events. And while it's not possible to absolutely prove the reality of the patient's experiences and claims of awareness, it is impossible to disclaim them, and there's more work needed in this area. Clearly, the recalled experience surrounding death now merits further genuine investigation without prejudice. And so it is. There's probably a lot of noise surrounding this, and that's why I wanted to hit every single perspective as wildly as I could. But obviously, that Dr. Parnia has done the most scientific research on it, and I loved coming with receipts, BB. Like, no, we're gonna slam these down and block out any of the haters. And what's really interesting is I had a near-death experience when I was a toddler, and I don't recall a lot. Actually, I don't recall any of it, but I do have a recurring dream about it. So I don't know if this is like my recollection of it. But in short, I was taking a nap in my basement on the couch. And then my nanny came downstairs to check on me, and she started screaming bloody murder. And my mom came downstairs, and apparently where I was sleeping, my dad, who was a professional race car driver at that time, he had a bunch of very heavy trophies, and they were in glass shelves, and he had a bunch of very heavy bookcases, bookends and books on these shelves I was sleeping under. They all collapsed. All three of the shelves collapsed. I mean, this had to have been thousands of pounds, and I was 3 years old. And they all fell on top of me, and it crushed my skull. I actually still have a scar in my skull from where they put the staples in my head, but they said that I was bleeding out. And when they took me to the hospital, they basically said they didn't know if I was going to make it or not. And to this day, I wonder if that's one, why I have psychic gifts, like I got knocked on my crown chakra. But two, the recurring dream that I have, which is wild. I have this dream that I'm being swept up in angel wings and I'm being told I have a mission on earth to heal other people and to be a light worker. And I remember feeling this warmth and this light and this when someone mentioned the golden orbs, I like saw that. I saw gold orbs and they almost, because I was 3 years old, they almost looked like star shapes to me, but they were circles and stars. And all of the angels in like who were swooping me up, none of them had faces. And I've talked about this on the podcast before, how every time I've seen a guardian angel, they've never had faces. They've only had like loving energy and warmth because they're not people. Like angels are just energy light beings. So I do remember that. And every now and then I'll have a dream like kind of recalling that moment. And I don't know if I just made that up because I heard the stories growing up, but I have the scar on my skull to prove it. And to this day, you know, they say that the only reason I survived is because there were these like heavy ends of this couch. Obviously, I was born in the 80s because it was like a black leather couch. Ugh, yikes. And we had black carpet. Just wanted to paint the scene real good for you. But these heavy ends that, you know, are armrests, for whatever reason, the shelves fell exactly parallel to the book. To the ends of the armrest. So even though I was crushed underneath these bookshelves, for whatever reason, they fell on top of each other in a perfect alignment. And if they would have fell any differently, I would even say like at any different type of angle, it would have completely either severed or cut my head or completely knocked me out of, I mean, I was knocked unconscious, but just you can imagine all the possibilities of that. So that's kind of my near-death experience, even though I don't remember it because I was so young, but I do remember it, right? Like my soul remembers it. So if you have any near-death experiences that you want to share on the podcast, I'd be so happy to share them. And you can always email them to me at psychicsky. Am I okay? I don't feel like I'm okay today. Like I can barely form a sentence, Mercury retrograde. Okay. So you can email me at psychicscooppodcast. There you go. @gmail.com. And you also know how to find me spirit@_sis. That's not it. I hope this is the mess you came here for today. @spirit_sis on Instagram and TikTok, Spirit Sis, or my website, spiritsis.com. I hope this gave you a little bit of peace thinking about the afterlife and the experiences. And a lot of people have talked about being afraid to die. And I've shared what I've known from spirit and how they all explain that it's a peaceful experience. They float from the body, they go through life review, they're greeted by loved ones. It's nothing but a peaceful experience. And I hope that that gives you a little bit of comfort and solace. And it's really not your job or responsibility to worry about the future of your life. There are some things that are predestined and karmic, but you came down here for a reason. And I know you're listening to this, or you feel deeply in your soul that you have a purpose here. And trust me, your spirit knows that, your soul knows that, your guides know that. So I hope that that message finds you and lands on you and you receive it. And thanks again for listening to the podcast. If you loved it, please write a rating review. That really helps the podcast. Sending you lots of love, and we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.